Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, we need the grace that comes through faith. I don't know how else to explain it other than to say that God wants to empower us to be able to meet the demands that reality brings upon us. But unless we have faith, unless we're standing upon not only the promises of God, but the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of the God who made the promise, we're not going to handle the tribulations and the trouble that we go through very well. We're going to respond in very humanly ways to these things instead of with the power of God. And so we have to be mindful that this grace, this empowerment, this unmerited favor that God wants to give us to handle these things, we have to access it by faith. So if it's going to take you having to be still sometimes and refocusing upon Him, remember, gazing upon Him again to say, you know what, Lord, I know that I'm tempted to really handle it this way, but God, I need to look to You for my answers and my solutions on how to handle this. If you do it that way, you're going to get through it the way that He wants you to, the way that He's calling you to, and you're going to grow as a result. But if you just try to handle it within your own means, within your own strength or lack thereof, we're just going to make a mess of things, aren't we? I have made a mess of all kinds of things in my life whenever I try to take control of the situation and try to do it the way that I think I need to. You see, tribulation is coming. Trouble is coming. And that's not to make us scared or upset, but it is to just bring a sobering reality to the fact that, hey, you know, we may not plan for these things to happen or want these things to happen, but they're going to, whatever it is. But we can look at a passage like this and have hope. Why? Because the things that we go through can actually be used to our benefit and to our good. This word tribulation in the Greek is thlipsis, and it means pressure, burden, persecution, and trouble. And it means to be squeezed and crushed. Ah, oh, that's such good news, isn't it? How many of you this morning are just so giddy about being squeezed and crushed? You know, the thing about being squeezed and crushed is that whatever you squeeze or crush, whatever's in it comes out. My first thing that came into my mind in the last service was spiders. And someone said, "Why did you say that? That's gross." Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just the thing that came into my head. And maybe I should, you know, think about things before I say them. But the truth remains, if you squish something, what's in it comes out, right? And if you don't like spiders, well, you can use grapes. Use something that, you know, maybe doesn't gross you out as much. You squeeze it, and what's inside comes out. You and I, when we get squeezed, we're no different. When you and I get squeezed and crushed and burdened with pressures, what is inside comes out. Irritation, whining about inconveniences, being extremely upset, or, yes, like Bruce just said, or maybe it's a holy response. Maybe it is Jesus in you. And as you get crushed, you start to diffuse the fragrance of Christ because you're keeping your eyes on Him. Last time you got crushed by something, last time someone put their foot down on you, so to speak, what came out? You need to think about that because you and I are going to go through tribulation, trouble. Jesus said, hey, in this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, right? He's letting us know right off the bat, you're going to go through things. We need to stop. I mean, I don't know if anyone has this method of evangelism, but if you're telling people that, hey, if you just accept Jesus, your problems will go away. Stop it. Don't tell them that. Because I have talked to too many people who, after the fact, were disillusioned and were like, I was told it was supposed to get better, but it's getting worse. And then they think they got to abandon the whole enterprise because it's like, well, I guess it's not true. But, you know, guess what? Jesus actually does not say all your problems will go away. He says the exact opposite, that you will have trouble. You will have the same word, phlipsis, pressure, burden, persecution. You will be squeezed and you will be crushed. However, here's the good news. He doesn't just leave it there. He's not just like, hey, in this world, you will have trouble. See you later. In this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Look, our victory is in Christ, the one who overcomes the world. It's not us overcoming, it's him overcoming, and we get to share in his overcoming and in his victory. And that's what I want to be a part of. But guess what? It wasn't just, you know, Jesus saying that to us and we get to go through all the hard things. Jesus himself went through the hardest thing. And that's why, looking at this word for pressure or tribulation, for trouble, I want to turn now to Luke chapter 22 and look at a time that Jesus was crushed. Luke 22, 39 through 46. I want to read it in its entirety. It says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel of the Lord, or then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he had come to his disciples. He found them sleeping from sorrow. And then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now, I bring this passage up because we see that this is the night that Jesus is betrayed. Okay, the Last Supper has already happened. They're now in the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? And Jesus knows full well that what he has been telling his disciples multiple times is just about to come to pass, that he will be betrayed into the hands of sinners and that he will be put to death, and on the third day he will rise again. Now, his disciples are sometimes a little slow on the uptake, and there have been many times where they just don't get it, right? Now, this time, though, I think they're starting to think, wow, I think he might be serious, guys. I think he's serious about this whole getting arrested and getting betrayed thing. He just seems like there's just something on him tonight, guys. He seems really heavy about something. You know what I mean? They're noticing this. I mean, Peter's even brought a sword with him, right? He's ready. He's like, you know, if anyone tries to come at my master, like, I'm going to do something about it, okay? So they're feeling the weight of what Jesus is feeling a little bit. They're angsty. They're kind of wondering, you know, what's going to happen. And they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and I love how it says that he was accustomed to do this. This was a place where one of Jesus's prayer spots. I like to know that the Son of God had one of those too. I told you last week that my place happens to be Graceland Cemetery, okay? Whatever your place is, for me, I know that I am accustomed to go there. I make it a habit to go there. I walk, I reflect, I talk to God, and I just pray over things and about things that I'm going through in my life. I'm accustomed to doing that. Well, similarly, Jesus is accustomed to going to this place, Gethsemane. And Gethsemane literally means olive press. Olive press. Now, why do they press olives? To get olive oil, so that they can sell it or use it, or because there's a lot of uses for olive oil, right? So when you press an olive, oil comes out. Jesus, in his prayer spot, goes to a place of pressing, goes to a place of crushing. And in this moment, it's not a coincidence, we see him more pressed and crushed than we ever see him in any other moment. We see, you know, that Jesus, being fully God and fully man, you know, has times where he's got to draw away sometimes and pray or whatever. But this is a moment that is heavy, and you can feel it in the passage because it says that he's praying for this cup to be passed from him. What? He's about to be betrayed, right? He's about to be beaten. He's about to take that road to the cross and be crucified. He has all of this on his mind, and it is heavy what he's going through and about to go through. So he's praying, Lord, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's the first clue that you and I need to have in our prayer life is when you are being crushed, when you are feeling burdened, just know that you can pray to God and ask him for his help to go through whatever his will is. I don't always perfectly know what the will of God is in terms of what's going to happen next, okay? I'm like, well, I actually have been given the 10-year plan, and God said that next this is going to happen, followed by this, and then followed by that. I don't have one. I didn't print it out this morning, okay? It's not there. But what I do trust is the fact that God will lead me faithfully to the next step, right? And so if I pray, God, I really don't want to go through this, but I'm willing to go through this if it's your will. That's a whole different prayer than, God, keep me from suffering, keep me from suffering, keep me from suffering, keep me from suffering, because we pray like that a lot. Lord, I just pray that nothing bad ever happens in my life. We need to stop praying like that because suffering is going to happen. The prayer should be instead, teach me how to suffer. Teach me how to suffer the way you suffer with a willingness to go through whatever it is and grow from whatever it is that I'm going through. And look, it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. I was very stricken by this word agony. It's the word agonia in the Greek, and it means a struggle. It means anguish, and it means perturbation of mind, to be perturbed. Jesus was perturbed. And perturbed literally means to be worried, anxious, and unsettled. I don't like to think of that, actually. I found myself grappling with that. I was like, Jesus, the one who says don't worry, the one who says don't fear, the one who says be of good cheer. And here is Jesus perturbed. But here's the thing, and I want to make this abundantly clear. The kind of anxiety Jesus was feeling was not out of a distrust of his Father, but a fully human response. Remember, he's fully God, but he is also fully man. A fully human response to the extreme physical suffering that he was about to endure on the cross. Could you imagine sitting there knowing that you could try to flee, you could try to run away, but you're staying right there, decidedly saying, I'm going to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to dig my heels in, and I'm going to allow myself to be betrayed, arrested, beaten, scourged, mocked, crucified, and die the worst death that you can die. Would that cause any angst in you? Would that cause any pressure in you? Well, for each and every one of us, I think we might be very tempted to just be like, let's amscram, right? Let's get out of here. But Jesus stays put in the olive press. He stays put under the weight of that crushing, of that pressing. Understand that anxiety is an emotion, okay? And we do not simply choose what we feel and do not feel. If you've ever discovered that, please let me know how you did it. I haven't found like the board in my life where I can just like, oh, here's the switchboard. If I just press happy, I'll be happy all the time. And I won't ever have to switch the button. What's all these other buttons like sad and worried? And I'm not going to press any of those. I'm just going to press happy. And just leave it there on default, and it'll be that way. Is that how your emotions work? No. And sometimes you get emotions just come out of left field, like out of nowhere. And you're like, I can't even explain why I feel this way. You know what? We need to stop trying to control that and instead use that as a moment to say, Lord, I'm feeling this way, help me. Lord, I'm feeling this way. I need to come to you. If I'm ever feeling anxiety, that is the thing I try to do. I try to respond, not simply react. I try to respond by saying, God, I'm feeling this, and that's telling me I need to come to you right now, and I need to be on my knees before you in prayer. So here's the thing. We don't simply choose what we feel. However, here's what we do choose. We choose whether or not to live out of it. You're going to experience anxiety, but you don't have to live out of it. You don't have to make your decisions by it. You don't have to make your decisions by worry and by fear. Instead, when you experience these things, it's an opportunity for faith. Jesus, it says in Hebrews 4:15, that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. He was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. But we also just read that he had agonia, which means worried, anxious, and unsettled. So is anxiety a sin? No. Living out of it is. Acting out of it is. Making decisions out of it is. Because you're not going to be able to control your emotions, trust me. A lot of Christians try and they become fake. A lot of them try to just have this happy-go-lucky attitude all the time, no matter what. And it actually is killing their soul. It is a burden and a facade and an act. And it's, you know, acting is work. That's why actors get paid for it. They get paid an exorbitant amount of money to do that. But you and I, we're not to do that. We're to acknowledge the fact that, wow, I'm really feeling this. But here's the thing. I'm going to keep my eyes on God because Jesus, who never sinned, did not live out of anxiety. He instead got on his knees before the Father and while being crushed, prayed to him. So just like we can be angry and not sin, Ephesians 4:26, we can have anxiety but not choose to sin. We can be tempted by anxiety but not sin by deciding not to live out of it. And here's what I love, because it's in the same line. Being in agonia, being in a struggle and in anguish and in perturbation of mind, he prayed more earnestly. What is that word, more earnestly? In the Greek, when you study it, it just means more intently, meaning he was more intentional about praying because of feeling these things. Now, that's where it ought to be convicting for you and I. He was more intentional to pray having felt anxiety. When you and I, when we feel anxiety, what do? Is our first response to pray? Is our first response to hang in there and say, no matter what happens, Lord, I want your will and not mine? To say, you know, even though it feels like I'm being crushed and going through great difficulty, I'm going to do things your way. Even though it hurts, God, I am here because I trust you are faithful and that what you want to bring out of this situation is exactly what I want too. And we're going to do this hand in hand. Now, that isn't always my first response. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that it was. I think I've grown in it. I think I've gotten better at it over the years because I believe that over the years, I'm giving more and more lordship over to Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, I need you in the midst of those situations. Look, sometimes you're going to have those feelings come and you're going to have this irritation, this annoyance inside of you. And then your spouse says the wrong thing. Uh-oh, someone's putting their foot on you. What's in there is going to get squeezed out. It's going to come out. What is it? And if you didn't give that to the Lord, whatever that is, guess who's going to get an earful as soon as they step on you? You're at work. And that boss who's been breathing down your neck, as they say, just takes it a little bit too far that day. If you haven't been going to the Lord, praying earnestly, intently about what's going on in here, guess what? It's not going to be handled well, is it? You might end up fired. Some people have. I've heard, you know, oh yeah, I got fired. Well, how'd you get fired? I said a few choice words to my boss. Yeah, I think that happens, you know, quite a bit, actually. But here's the thing. We want to be like Christ, who despite being tempted in every way that you and I are, he did it without sin. And when we're tempted by giving into anxiety and living out of anxiety instead of faith, what we can do in those moments is go to God, pray intently, be intentional about the fact that we are praying and what we're praying about, okay? How we're praying to him. And next thing you know, we're now relying on God again. We're looking to him in faith so that when someone steps on you, your eyes are already on Jesus. Your eyes are already on Christ. And you can now handle, you can now respond to that situation with Christ-like behavior, with Christ-like empowerment. So when under the pressure of anxiety, Jesus was more intentional. But look, here's what's also fascinating too. I just was getting so much from this passage. Do you see how it says that an angel came? It says that an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Now, you and I, when we pray, we hope for some alleviation, do we not? We hope to receive a little bit of comfort, perhaps, for the things that we go through. Now, he was strengthened by his time of prayer, but that we see very clearly here in the next moment that does not mean that the weight of what he was going through was suddenly taken away. Because it says right after that, so it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, when I first ever read that, I was like, that sounds, I guess, is that like poetic or something? Is that like, what does that even mean? You know, I've never seen such a thing in my life. It must be some kind of poetic hyperbole placed in there to put emphasis on the, no, it's not that, okay? Here's what it is. Have you ever heard of something called hematidrosis? You're like, what is that? Hematidrosis. So hematidrosis is when you are under such crazy stress and anxiety. I mean like a lot of it, copious amounts of it, where you feel like you are being weighed down and crushed like we're describing today, that it can actually cause small blood vessels near the surface of your skin to rupture so that when you sweat, the sweat carries out with it blood. So was Jesus stressed more than you and I have ever been? Unless some of you have had hematidrosis in this room before. He did in this moment. He was so already now starting the process of carrying the weight of the sins of the world that while carrying this difficulty, the angel, it says that he was strengthened by this ministry coming from God to him, but that doesn't mean that the weight was taken away. And this is where you and I can learn something. We say, well, prayer doesn't work because I don't feel any better. Prayer doesn't work because I prayed and I don't feel any less. Listen, your feelings are not the sum total of the will of God. And there will be times where he wants you to go through it, whatever it is. And I want you to know that it is not because God wants to step on you and watch you writhe. He's not like, oh, I just can't wait to step on Carlos and watch what pops out. Like, that is not the heart of God towards us. Instead, he gives you tests and trials for your benefit and for your growth. Look, and Pastor Fred has talked about this a lot, and I always think about it because, you know, sometimes it's like when you grow up, you think, man, I think that teacher might be out to get me, you know? Like, why are they so this or that towards me? But guess what? No teacher in their right mind ever gives you a test because they want you to fail. I mean, just look, it doesn't even make sense in one sense, because if they wanted you to fail because they don't like you or something, well, then they'll just get you in class again because you failed, right? Now they got to see you again. They want to give you a test so you pass. They want to give you an opportunity to apply what you have learned, what you have experienced, the things that have prepared you for that moment, so that by passing that test, you can move on to bigger and better subjects, right? So similarly, God is going to allow you to go through some tribulation, through some trouble, through some tests and some hardships. What's in there is going to come out, just like on exam day, what's in there is going to come out. And for me, in a lot of math tests, nothing came out. Where is it? It's supposed to be here. No, it's not there. That's what happens when you don't put it in there. It's not in there to come out. On exam day, what's in there is going to come out, whether it's a lot that you put in there or not a lot that you maybe didn't put in there, okay? Well, similarly for us, when the testing comes, your character, it's going to reveal a thing or two about who you really are, what you really believe, etc. So just be aware that sometimes crisis is the very thing that will show you deeply who you really are and what you really believe more than anything else ever could. If he allowed his son Jesus to go through hard things, we're going to go through hard things. If we're going to become more like Christ, we're going to go through hard things. So Jesus exemplified the fact that he carried this weight and was even sweating great drops of blood, even after being encouraged or ministered to by this angel, strengthening him. He still had all of that weight on his shoulders. You and I need to be more intentional about the way we pray, but not necessarily thinking that, oh, my feelings better change, and if they don't change immediately, then I don't believe in this whole prayer thing. Look, God does care about you having joy, and he cares. I even believe that he cares about you being happy, believe it or not. Now, your happiness isn't the main objective. There's going to be a lot that needs to be given up at the expense of your happiness. But at the same time, do you think God really is interested in you walking around curmudgeoned and upset and like, oh, life, it's terrible. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I always hear this, living the dream, right? You know, oh, I'm doing okay. It's, you know, just, and then complaints start to come forth. Now, listen, it's okay to be honest with the right people about, you know, what's really going on in your heart. But if 24/7, you basically have that default setting of being upset, and as Pastor Fred says, broke, busted, and disgusted, that is not God's will for you. He doesn't want you to live in that or out of that. That's you choosing not to live out of faith, but you living out of anxiety, perhaps, anger, unforgiveness, etc. But the point is, when we keep our faith and our hope and our trust in Christ, things will change. Now, how does he find the disciples? It says that he had come to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. I was really fascinated by that phrase. The King James says a sleep of sorrow. And I'm like, well, what is that? When you study this word sorrow in the Greek, it means sadness, grief, and heaviness, aka discouragement. They were so weighed down, I believe, by what they were seeing their master go through, but also the threat of danger that they were made aware of, that, okay, something is coming, right? Like I said, Peter even prepared by bringing a sword. So they know something's coming. And instead of doing what Jesus did, and that is hang out in the place of prayer, they were so discouraged that they wanted to duck out, right? They're like, they don't want to leave Jesus. But at the same time, this whole prayer thing, they couldn't even do it because they were so discouraged. Has discouragement ever kept you from praying? Discouragement will happen. And you start to get feelings of, you start to be lethargic, apathetic. The whole idea of spending time with God suddenly sounds like a chore. Something maybe that you're afraid of or feel guilty about, and it's not uplifting anymore to you. And in your mind, you want to avoid that at all costs. And so feeling that discouragement, you do something else to try and alleviate the discouragement. I totally get the whole idea of being tired because of discouragement. Have you ever just like, you've been stressed out, like, I just need a nap. I just need to go find a place, go unconscious for a little bit, and just like duck out for a second. Like, yeah, I get that. But that's one response. Other responses are, I'm gonna get the bottle out again. I'm gonna start dabbling in drugs again. I'm gonna start looking at porn again. I'm gonna start calling up the wrong people who aren't good influences in my life and tell them what I'm going through in the hope that they'll offer me something that'll bring alleviation, and I don't care what it is, I'm gonna take it because I just wanna get out of this discouragement, this funk that I'm in. So his disciples, they handle it by literally going somewhere and going unconscious. They are sleeping from sorrow. And Jesus, both times, I mean, he tells them right in the beginning, hey, I wanna read it again, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter temptation.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.